Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Okay, last week we started talking about dead religion. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, as the Bible says, and dead religion has plagued the world since time eternal, since time has begun. Last week we looked at a few points. And I think we need to go ahead and look at, do a little review of some of the critical points from last week. So here we go. And the first point was, once life in Christ gives way to an organization or a denomination about Christ, you eventually end up with dead religion. Now let me say this again, and I want you to pay close attention here. Once life in Christ gives way to an organization or a denomination about Christ, you eventually end up with dead religion. You know, we see this after the apostolic age in the Bible. They kept the form. Now listen, they kept the form and even the function and even the doctrine, but they forsook the life of Christ in it. Now here's the spiritual principle. When we sever the church from Christ himself and turn Christ into mere religion, you have severed the life, and the result is always death. Let me say that again. When we sever the church from Christ himself and try to turn Christ into mere religion, you have severed the life, and the life and the result is always, always death. But this is the character and spiritual nature of a church where the life of Christ is not being made manifest, but the people are working to please the people in and outside the church and even the community. You know, we also looked at how a pastor and leadership in such a church is often selected. And do they have a seminary degree? Are they educated? Do they have influence and money and power? Well, do they command a presence? Can they grow our church? All of these are typical requirements that people will look at to bring them into church leadership, but not so in God. You know, we also look at the power in the heart of church leadership. That was not moving in what the scriptures command, but was moving in control and manipulation. And listen close again, my friend. At the heart of most church leadership is control and manipulation. In a church like this, God cannot move because he would want to dismantle it and maybe start again. But I've seen God close churches down and scatter them to the wind. And lastly, I gave a hypothetical message from God, which was not hypothetical at all. But it was Jesus' charge to the body of Christ over 2,000 years ago. But sadly, we have ignored it to build our kingdoms, our dead religions, while God has been merciful and long-suffering with the folks involved. Wow. God is just so long-suffering and so merciful. How I thank God for being merciful and long-suffering in my life. Now, what if God said, no more credentials? What if God said, no more denomination, no more church organizations? What if God said, all property and lands and money and titles are to be given back? What if God said the difference between clergy and laymen will be dissolved and the basis for authority will be reduced to being nothing more than a simple follower within my body? All effective noon tomorrow. Wow, what would the church do then? Now, the incredible thing about all of this is there is coming an end to this age when we cannot know, and anyone that tries to tell you they know is lying at best. But when that end does come, and make no mistake, my friend, it will come, we are going to have to face the very truth that my hypothetical situation from last week presents. And we're going to have to face the fact that the ground has already been leveled at the foot of the cross. My friend, Jesus does not care about whether we have degrees or credentials or ordinated. Our natural gifts are not going to matter. what we think we have done for him is not going to count either. He is going to care only about what we are in relationship to him. And he is going to hold us accountable for the lives we have affected as a result of it in this age here. All of the things we think Jesus cares about, he does not. They were man-made. They were invented. They were, they were made up to satisfy man's dead religion. And the longer time goes, the more man will make up more things and more things until God finally says enough. Sadly, some Christians and some believers I know by the tens of thousands continue to think their position in ministry or a church somehow correlates to the amount of their eternal reward. But my friend, it does not. Tens of thousands wrongly believe that if they give money and they work and they do all of these things, or they're even used to save souls, that they are earning an eternal reward. Well, they are not. In the end, what we have supposedly done for God, and that "done for God" is in quotations, is not even going to be mentioned by Jesus at all, even though we might mention it a time or two. Again, despite all of the good and the necessary works in which we may have served the Lord and been used of him, it is going to come down to one thing, and one thing only, my friend, our individual and personal relationship to Jesus Christ. What do you think we're going to be doing for all of eternity? Well, specifics aside, we're going to be living with God forever. Wow, living with God forever. Well then, how do we expect to be able to function in a relationship with God then if we are not functioning with one now? Do you see what I mean? I may think I'm doing many, many wonderful things for God now, but what is my true relationship with him? In the secret places where no one, not even my spouse, can see, but only God. Does God really possess my heart? Do I really love him? Do I really believe in him? Or am I in this thing called the church for what I want to get out of it? You know, there is one thing in this world, there are some things in this world that we cannot, and I repeat, cannot belong to call ourselves a believer. A quick story here. Recently, Karen and I attended a funeral at a Baptist church of a friend we have known for about 10 years. We would see him and his wife when we would visit another friend who was in church leadership at their church. Well, during the funeral, a man got up and conducted the Masonic last rites of burial for a Mason. Well, I was shocked. Karen said she was waiting for me to walk out, but to my shame, she was right. I should have. Even to this day, I've thought about contacting the pastor of the church and the one who conducted the funeral for his thoughts, but I didn't, and I contacted my friend who was in leadership at their church. We talked a bit, and I asked him what he thought about the Masonic last rites. And he said, well, it is usually done at the grave site, but he sees no problem in it. And I said, what? I asked, are you a Mason too? And he replied, yes, I'm a Mason. Wow. So we battered back and forth, and I told him Masons and other secret dead religions are demonic. They practice witchcraft and idolatry, and no true believer ought to belong to such an ungodly organization. That means the Shriners and all of the rest of the good organizations that do good works and help kids and all that good stuff. If Jesus Christ is not the heart focus of the organization, then it is antichrist to the Word of God and to God himself. And if you stay involved with such an organization, no matter how much good work that you do, oh no, my friend, it will only destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. John 3:6 says, John 3:6 tells us, that which is spirit is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:17 is very clear. Wherefore, come out from them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean things like the Masonic Lodge, and I will receive you. John in 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God means it, my friend. Now, right now we have a relationship at whatever level we have with Christ. And in one way or another, despite all of our games and our religiosity and all of our self-righteous and all of that stuff, that relationship will define us, is exactly what defines us. Let me say that again. That relationship that we have with the Lord is what defines us. Indeed, in the end, it is all that is going to define us for all of eternity. Examine yourself, my friend. You know, if Jesus starts all over again tomorrow, how would you fit in? The good news, or perhaps the sobering news, is that there is coming a day when everything in my hypothetical situation is going to exactly happen. Jesus will return, and then it will be a new beginning. And at that time, all that is going to matter is our relationship to Him. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that this word is allowing God's, you know, the Spirit of God to be formed in you. And I pray that you have a wonderful week, and pray that you tune in next week for more of the institutionalization of the church. Amen.